So let's say that it's around the year 1820, as in nearly 200 years ago, and you're a guy living in Kentucky. You dress to impress with a stylish cane, a cane with a sword hidden inside it, the sort of weapon one might see today in a museum in France or in some outlandish spy film from the 1960s. Such was the burden of a man named Bliss back then. Mr. Bliss asked the Court of Appeals of Kentucky to do something about the state's nasty concealed arms statute, one that prohibited any person from wearing a pocket pistol, dirk, large knife, or sword in a cane concealed as a weapon unless traveling on a journey, one that he and his cane had been convicted of violating. After all, such restrictive language, Bliss argued, directly conflicted with the state constitutional right given citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state. It's not precisely the case decided by the United States Supreme Court last week. The case of the cane, after all, hinged on the Kentucky Constitution, not the Second Amendment to the federal Constitution. But Mr. Bliss was among the very first litigants to point the way toward an expansive reading of constitutional gun rights. He convinced the Kentucky court in 1822 that it violated the state constitution to restrict weaponry in any way. Check out this language. "It is the right to bear arms in defense of the citizens and the state that is secured by the Constitution, and whatever restrains the full and complete exercise of that right, though not an entire destruction of it, is forbidden by the explicit language of the Constitution." And, "In principle, there is no difference between a law prohibiting the wearing of concealed arms and a law forbidding the wearing such as are exposed, and if the former be unconstitutional, the latter must be so likewise." Oh, happy day. Or should I say, oh, happy couple of decades, depending upon your home state and your point of view. Bliss got his wish, but by the 1840s, not all courts would embrace his choice of walking/slashing implement and his home court's expansive reading of the right to bear arms provision. In Alabama, the state's highest court found it perfectly constitutional to ban the evil practice of concealed weapons, interpreting its own constitutional language to allow the legislature's restrictive actions. Tennessee's highest court, too, worried early on that without legislative bans on certain weaponry, including Bowie knives, citizens, especially assassins and robbers, would keep and bear such arms only for private boils. It found that the state's constitutional right to bear arms clause was not unlimited. It probably didn't help that one of the defendants in the case had threatened that he would have his enemy's heart's blood. But back to Kentucky. Nearly 190 years after his successful court fight, Bliss found his way out of obscurity last week. His case, his name, is mentioned in a footnote on page 15 of the Supreme Court's opinion, and you can bet that Mr. Bliss would be pleased that his case was cited by the majority and not the dissent. Oh, and Bliss's sword and a cane weapon? Its nattiness is still available online. With great foresight, one seller suggests in a link titled Legal Stuff that today's Bliss's check with their local police department, or better yet, their lawyer, to find out what's allowed and what isn't under the law. I'm Amy Guida.